Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Well, this is it. Huh? This is what the world of sports is like without football. Huh?
Yeah, it's kind of boring not having NFL football or college football or anything football related to talk about.
It's done.
Yeah, we got draft talk coming up.
We got draft. The draft is not that far off. The beginning of the season will officially, the new season will officially start on March 14th. So you'll have some free agency news and notes to dive into. And college football signing day isn't really that far off. So I guess those are the football storylines. Outside of that, it's definitely basketball and baseball time. And we will talk basketball on the show today because the Utah Jazz just continue to win. And we're just a couple of days away from the NBA trade deadline. I think it's going to be a quiet deadline.
I do, too. I don't think you're going to see a lot of movement either way for any teams that are out there. So we hype up NBA trade deadline a lot, and it's always kind of just a bust.
Typically, yeah. You don't see the fire sales. Baseball typically outweighs the NBA when it comes to trade deadline.
Because you got teams that are dumping off their players because they know that they're out of it, and then you got those teams that are in pennant runs that are trying to look for that extra edge.
All right, so while we're talking about the NBA trade deadline, one of the big stories that broke this morning involves the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, I think this is relevant because, well, first off, let me tell you the story. First off, the Lakers, there's a report saying the Lakers are going to be recalibrating their focus to the 2019 free agency class, not the 2018 free agent class. That's big. And I'll tell you why that's big. It's big for teams like Utah, who have a valuable trade chip in Derek Favors. Okay, because you can look at teams like the Lakers that would look to shed salary for this offseason. You have guys like Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, younger guys under contract that I think could have an immediate impact on contenders. You can take those guys out of the equation. If the Lakers are not willing to move contracts to focus on this free agent class, it ups the value for guys like Derek Favors. It ups the value on guys like Kemba Walker, for instance. I know these are different types of players, but you can rule one team out. I think it drives the price up for other teams who have valuable trade chips. And I think that's how you can kind of correlate this to the Utah Jazz. A little bit of a surprise that the Lakers are going to not focus on 2018, or do you think it's legit?
I think it's legit. For the Lakers, they're looking at 2019 where Kawhi Leonard's a free agent, and you got Klay Thompson's a free agent. So you got
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler. You got those type of players. They must know that LeBron's not coming and Paul George is not going to leave Oklahoma City. So they got maybe tipped off, and they're going to focus now in 2019 and see what they can do this year and next year.
Well, let's be honest. If Paul George is hell-bent on getting to L.A.,
he'll do it.
You don't have to cut a lot of cap room to bring in Paul George. They'll be okay there. Now, if you think that the only chance you have of getting Paul or getting LeBron James is by bringing in Paul George and it's a long shot, then yeah, you don't make any of these moves. It is a little bit of a surprise. I will say this about Magic Johnson. There's no trust the process in L.A. Okay, you can't trust the process. You can't use that saying because Magic had hot take after hot take, blasting the Laker front office for so many years. And this is year one. And I think when you, most people would turn the other way and say, okay, no big deal. But when you continue to get on national media pedestals and blast management for the lack of direction, it's really tough. Hey. It's really tough to step in and be passive. And that's what he's doing right now.
Hey, you came in, you're the guy that said you're going to come in and you're going to bring championships back to the Lakers. They're going to put the Lakers back on top. And so far, you just got fines after fine because you're tampering. So they have some big, he has some big voids to fill with his mouth, because he said that he was going to step in and make them contenders right away.
I agree. Now, I think they've played a lot better. They've won 10 out of their last 14. I believe that if Lonzo Ball had not gotten hurt, this would be a playoff team.
They'd be 7 or 8, yes.
Yeah, they would be definitely right there in the mix to get into the postseason. They're not going to go to the playoffs this year. But you brought up tampering. Now, of course, Magic is no stranger to tampering, and this one seems a little bit excessive. The Lakers were fined $50,000 for Magic's comments on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Here's what Magic said. Got the quote right here. With his ball handling skills and his passing ability, he plays above the rim. I could never do that. But in his understanding of the game, his basketball IQ, his creativity and shots for teammates, that's where we have the same thing. I can bring it down, make a pass, make a play. I'm happy that he's starting in the All-Star game and he is going to put Milwaukee on the map. I think he's going to bring them a championship one day. Does that constitute tampering?
No. That's ridiculous. They got fined for that, for tampering, because he said nothing about acquiring the player or, you know, trading for him or whatever it may be. He just gave the guy a compliment, and this happens all the time.
The Milwaukee Bucks obviously didn't feel too threatened by it, because they released a tweet on Instagram. They put a picture of Magic's quote with Giannis underneath it. So they were obviously happy with Magic's quote. I don't think anyone views that as a threat. But remember when the Lakers were fined last time? We had Peter Vesey on the show, which I think we all figured out that Peter Vesey is old and grumpy now. Remember when we had him on the show?
Yeah, he was a grumpy old man.
He was. There's a target on the Los Angeles Lakers' back, and I think there has been for quite some time. So if you hate the Lakers, you love seeing this. But they are under 24/7, right? They're under 24/7 surveillance. That's the way it seems.
Yeah, when you're the greatest NBA franchise of all time, yeah, there's a target on your back.
And you play in one of the largest markets
yeah,
as well.
And right. People are coming after you for every little thing. And it's good times now for everybody, because the Lakers have been down.
Right, and I think that the whole Paul George scenario, like, nobody can convince me that there was no tampering
in
that Paul George deal. There was obviously some tampering going on there. But because of that, I think that the surveillance has been amplified a little bit on the Lakers. I don't know how we've started by talking about the Lakers for 5 minutes on this show, but there's some really relevant stories surrounding this franchise that I believe will have an immediate impact on the Utah Jazz. Now, we will talk about the Jazz today, and tomorrow it is the eve of the trade deadline, and we have Dan Clayton from Salt City Hoops set to join us on the show. Dan's one of the best Utah Jazz minds that you will come across, and I want to get his thoughts on it, on how this actually affects Utah. I think it affects a lot of teams. The Lakers saying, look, we're not going to try to dump salary. I think that's a big move, especially coming out of the Western Conference. Gearing up for what I think will be a semi-uneventful trade deadline, but with that being said, who knows? I didn't see Blake Griffin getting moved, and that happened out of the blue, so you never know. The biggest trades that are made are the ones that are not talked about. Now let's move over to the NFL. We talked a bit about this yesterday. Josh McDaniels is now officially the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, which tells me Bill Belichick is going nowhere in New England anytime soon. There were rumblings, remember Sunday, that said maybe McDaniels would not be leaving. He's leaving now. It's official. He's the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. No surprise here.
No surprise. He's a good hire for the Colts. He's a good offensive mind. The Patriots, since he's come back, I think 2012 he came back. So from 2012 to 2017, the Patriots have been very good offensively. I think they've ranked in the top, 10 since he's been the offensive coordinator. So it's a good hire by the Colts. If Andrew looks healthy, I like him and McDaniels teamed up.
Yeah, but let me throw this out there to you, okay? He was in New England as the offensive coordinator from 2006 to 2008. Points per game, they were first. Went to Denver as the head coach from 2009 and 2010. They were 17th. Became the offensive coordinator in St. Louis in 2011. They were 32nd. They were dead last. Goes back to New England. They were first in points per game from 2012 to 2017. I think he's a good coach. I'm excited to see what happens with him and Andrew Luck. I think he's more mature this go around. And that's what stands out to me, the maturity. Because there were maturity issues when he was in Denver.
There was. I think he's grown from that too as well. So I think he's matured enough. This time around, if I was grading it, it's an A-.
I don't think you could get... There's nobody out there better. Let me put it that way.
No.
That's a legitimate option for Indianapolis. I think they got the best guy available, especially since you have Andrew Luck. And I view Andrew Luck as a once-in-a-generation type talent.
Yes, I do too.
Up to this point, they've wasted that talent.
They have. They got to get an offensive tackle, perhaps that third pick, or the kid from Penn State. So they have some options at three, but you got to surround him with some weapons.
Colts have missed the playoffs the last three seasons. It is the longest playoff drought since a seven-season stretch in 88-94. McDaniels is taking a team that was 30th in the NFL in defense last season, routinely one of the worst under Chuck Pagano. He definitely has his work cut out for him. Give him a couple of years. I think it's the right hire. I like it for Indianapolis, definitely. And let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Now, tonight we have plenty of action, and we will begin at the 5 o'clock hour. We get Cleveland at Orlando. Boston will take on Toronto. The Grizzlies will take on the Hawks. It's Houston at Brooklyn. We get the Bucks at the Knicks. 6 o'clock hour, Washington takes on the 76ers. Two games in the 8 o'clock hour tonight. OKC on the road to take on the Golden State Warriors. Do not ask Kevin Durant about the Thunder. He is not interested in talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder anymore. Wants no part of those questions.
No part of the Oklahoma City Thunder, but he continually jaws at them throughout the game and does other shenanigans, but don't ask him about it.
And then the last game of the 8 o'clock hour tonight, Suns at the Lakers, 8:30 start time there. We got plenty coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Next segment, we're going to be joined by Coach Brock Fawcett of the Carbon Dino Wrestling Squad as we gear up for the final 2 days of the season. It's really heating up. We got swimming coming up this weekend as well, which is going to be big because it's 2 days left in the winter sports season for those two sports. Basketball is going into the final regular season games this week as well. So plenty coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And tonight begins the final week of the regular season for the high school basketball year. In fact, the Emory Lady Spartans and Carbon Lady Dinos will return to the court. Emory enters the final two games of the regular season, tied with Richfield at 9-1 at the top of the Region 15 standings. And tonight, we'll travel on the road to meet the Grand Red Devils. Emory has won 9 consecutive games, and that includes a 97-24 win over tonight's opponent, Grand, back on Tuesday, January 16th. Tip-off for tonight's contest is set for 6 p.m., and then on Thursday, the Lady Spartans will return home for the final home game of the season as they take on the San Juan Broncos. A game is also scheduled for a 6 p.m. start time. Now, the Carbon Lady Dinos will also return to the basketball court tonight, and it will be a very interesting week in the Region 14 ranks. Carbon and Juab are currently tied at 8-2 for second place, while Union sits at 10-1. Tonight, the Lady Dinos will play host to the Union Cougars and an opportunity to inch a tad bit closer to potentially pushing for a tie at the top of the standings. Now, the two teams have played once already this season. Union earned a 42-39 win over Carbon. That was back on Tuesday, January 9th. Start time for tonight's game is set for 7 p.m., and it is senior night for the Lady Dinos, meaning their final home game of the season. Now, we stick with girls basketball, but we move over to the junior college ranks. And USU Eastern sophomore Caitlin Tuliono has been named the Scenic West Athletic Conference Women's Basketball Player of the Week. Tuliono led the Eagles to a 93-91 overtime victory over the College of CSI on Saturday. It was her first game back from an injury that sidelined her for a week, and she scored a team-high 23 points and also grabbed 13 boards to go along with 4 assists. Her performance in the third, where she scored 10 points and 5 rebounds, helped the Lady Eagles come back and force overtime. So far this season, Tuliono was averaging 9 points and 9 boards per game. She also ranks 20th in the country in total rebounds. The Lady Eagles will next return to the court on Fan Appreciation Night, which will take place this Thursday against Snow College. It'll be free admission for everyone and also free food while supplies last. Tomorrow on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll catch up with USU Eastern women's basketball coach Chelsea Warburton to break down what is shaping up to be a monumental contest against the Snow College Badgers. It is the final week of the season for wrestling and swimming. Both Carbon and Emory will be participating in the state championship tournaments, which will take place this Friday and Saturday. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we caught up with wrestling coach Kurt Christiansen and talked a little bit about the way his team performed at the divisionals, the lead-up for state, in which Emory took 18 total participants and 15 finished in the top 8 to qualify for the state championship meet. Coach Christiansen began by talking about the way his team performed.
Our percentage were good where wrestling was good. We wrestled really, really good in the early rounds right through quarterfinals. You know, we pushed nine into the semifinals and got four into the finals. And wrestling was tough in the finals. The ones we lost, I think, were really going to be a preview for next week's state championship matches.
Now, the Spartans were led in the divisionals by A.C. Reeve, who claimed the top spot at 285 pounds. We'll continue our coverage on the wrestling season today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. We'll be joined by Carbon Dino wrestling coach Brock Fawcett. And again, the wrestling season will come to an end Friday and Saturday at Utah Valley University in Orem. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Now, we talked Emory High School wrestling yesterday. Today, we're going to flip to Carbon High School. Emory was great. They had 15 out of 18 kids qualify for state. Carbon had 16 of 17 qualify for state. And again, you had to finish inside the top eight of your weight bracket in order to get there. Highly successful weekends for both schools. And joining us right now to talk about Carbon's side of the tournament, we have Coach Brock Fawcett over the phone right now. Coach, always a pleasure to get you on.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jordan. Happy to give some information to.
Well, Coach, there's plenty to talk about. You guys traveled to Richfield Friday and Saturday for the divisional meet, and you guys performed quite well. In fact, 16 out of the 17 kids that participated in that meet will now move on to the state finale this Friday and Saturday. And I mean, right off the top of my head, I mean, if you can get 16 of your 17 kids to advance to the final weekend, I mean, that's successful. That's not a bad outing for you guys at all.
No, it was great. You know, I don't know of a time when we've taken that many kids to state, even when I was coaching back in the day with Coach Smith. It's changed a little bit. We were able to qualify some 6th and 7th place kids, so that helped a lot. But yeah, it was great news. I'm super excited to have these kids go and to have the experience. We're taking several freshmen, which is a difficult thing at times for freshmen to qualify. But one of our freshmen even qualified as high as 3rd place, and that's the Bryce Judd. So we've got some great opportunities and a great future for Carbon Wrestling because of this showing, yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the top placers, Coach. First off, look at what Casey Shiner was able to accomplish at 132. I mean, he finishes the number one seed, finishes 3-0. So that was the top performer of the weekend.
Yes, definitely. Casey probably wrestled the best I've seen him ever. And that says a lot because he's a great wrestler. He really came to wrestle, and this postseason is one that I'm tickled pink for him, and I know he's going to have success next week. In fact, I dare say anyone, he's going to have a good competition if he meets the Warner kid from JUAB, but if he wrestles as tough as he did this weekend, I'm a firm believer he's our next state champion at Carbon High School.
Outside of that, a couple of one second place finish, if I remember off the top of my head, and Bradley Judd.
Yeah, Bradley had another great performance. We call it the Judd way. You know, he kind of throws things around and surprises kids at times, and he did exactly that. Didn't wrestle his best final, but did some good things that he hadn't done for a while. So he's coming on and peaking at the right time. He beat kids that probably wouldn't have beat earlier in the season, which shows his willingness to compete and rise to the occasion. So we're excited for him. Luckily, he and Caleb Sanderson both qualified at that same weight, are on opposite sides of the bracket going into state. So we have a good chance to see two placers in that weight. And the same goes for 32. Bobby Blake, he didn't have his greatest tournament, but he comes in qualifying at 132 as well. And he is also on the opposite side of Casey. So got a good chance to place two at 132 at a state tournament as well. So good things, yes.
Seeding is so important, obviously, when you go into the state championship tournament. And, Coach, you guys have a couple of third-place finishers as well, and O'Connor Fawcett will go in a 3-seed. Triton Abeta goes in a 3-seed, as does Bryce Judd. Is that still comfortable seeding going in as a 3? I mean, what's kind of the point for you as a coach where you say, okay, now it's getting a little tough being a certain seed in this tournament?
Yeah, so the way that the seeding is in the state tournament is they're predefined seeds based on the divisional performances. And so they just slot in a point or part of the bracket. And right now the third seeds are set to either take on, depending on the weight, not depending on the weight, it is standard, that they'll face the number 2 within our divisional in the quarters. So we have a good shot with all 3 of our third placers to get to the semis because we've already met those kids and wrestled those kids as the number 2 seed in our division in the quarter. So we have a good shot of winning that round and then going into the semis. Now, of course, if they make it to the semis or when they make it to the semis, because I'm optimistic, they'll have an immediate place in state. So there's some good things about that third seed. They face off the number 6 seed at the other division first round. And then, of course, like I mentioned, they face the number 2 seed from the division, our division, in the quarterfinals. There was some speculation that that was going to change from years past where that wouldn't be the case, but it is still that way, which isn't a bad thing because, like I said, we have wrestled those kids before and we know a little bit of what they do and can coach them up to win if we hadn't won already. So good things. Seeding is important. I mentioned this to the boys and Stasia Tacey last week. We got through the placing matches, and then it became time to want more, and I kind of tried to pep talk them into seeking after the higher seeds for the future of next week, which is coming, of course, upon us, and get them in a better position to place higher at the state tournament because that truly is the pinnacle of what they've been working for this season, and I really do want them to reap the success that they deserve through their efforts and work this season with the sport.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Brock Fawcett of the Carbon High School wrestling team. Coach, you mentioned Astasia Gomez and also Tacey Tapia. You have 2 females on this year's wrestling team, and Astasia will now move on and participate in the state meet. Female wrestlers, I mean, this is something that is not, it's not uncommon anymore, right? I mean, what's the number of female wrestlers that you'll see at the state meet now that the qualifying is done?
They're the only 2, with the exception of a girl from Moab, who qualified in 3A. So we have pretty much 2 of 3 of the girls in 3A that will be at the state tournament. So it isn't unheard of to have girls wrestling nowadays. It's more prevalent, but to reach the higher level. Now, Tacey didn't quite qualify, but she'll be going nonetheless to help out the team and support the team. So Stasia, as a qualifier in the state tournament, is a pretty big accomplishment, and I'm tickled pink for her and happy that she's a part of it. She's coming in as a 7th seed, so it's going to be tough for her, but I have a firm belief that she can shock anyone with some of her tactics and moves. So it'll be exciting to watch her and have that opportunity. In other divisions, there is going to be more girls. There is a girl from ALA who did qualify as well. So there's 4 girls in 3A. My apologies, the Mortimer girl. But there are other girls in other divisions as well. But I think hand for hand, our 3A girls are probably the toughest in the state in terms of other girl wrestlers out there in the state.
Coach, now that we're just a few days away from the state championship, what does practice look like? Do you tone it down? Do you ramp it up? I mean, it's probably a fine line now, just a couple of days away from the season's end.
That's a great question. I've always struggled with that as a coach, and I think I've talked to you about this before, is where is the strategy in getting your kids to peak. You don't want to go too lax because you lose some conditioning, you lose some physicality. On the other hand, you don't want to beat the kids up because you want them well-rested and ready to compete at the highest level. So we think we found kind of a happy medium. We've been going hard, but not as long. And I've been lucky enough to be blessed with some wrestlers who enjoy having fun in the room. And so we try to do a lot of that. We did some of it last week and this week. You know, we play a game. We'll condition, wrestle, play a game, and condition, wrestle, and of course finish either with a full-on match or some heavy conditioning, and then let them get home and get their homework done and get in bed for the next day. So that's a great question. I don't know if there's a set routine or a master plan that any coach uses. I think you got to kind of bear it off what kind of kids you have and where they're at health-wise and condition-wise. Manage it, but I think we've got a good thing with this next week. What we've been doing as of last week as well. So,
well, and it's also interesting. But as long as the season is, when you get down to the final week of practice, you know, if the kids fully grasp the concept of okay, all that work is now leading up to this weekend. I mean, it's kind of a really, it's almost surreal, right? I mean, because you put so much work, so much time in, and now you get down to the final 2 days of the season, and it was all for this. I mean, that's what you build for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the beauty of the sport. I mean, attrition is everything in the sport of wrestling. You're getting beat up every weekend, every day in practice, and your ability to just take it, to build on it, and become stronger is key. And incidentally, you have your highs and lows throughout the season, but your ability to bounce back from those lows and peak at the end is truly a gift that great wrestlers do every year. So we're hoping that, and we're seeing it. I mean, we saw some performances from Shiner and Judd and others last week that are saying they're getting stronger at the exact right time. And so we're hoping that we have a great showing. It's a wonderful opportunity for these kids, of course, to be a part of this. Their success is really showcased by their willingness to stick it out and do what they've done, which is been something fun to watch, something very fun to watch as their coach and as their director, because they do deserve a lot of credit for the efforts they put forth. As you well know, wrestling is by far the most physical high school sport there is, and I don't know if anyone can really argue with that in terms of the work and the dedication it takes to survive the season, let alone qualify for state and then go on and place at state. So, yeah, I'm proud of them.
We'll end with this, Coach. I know each kid has a different goal. I mean, realistically, from a coach's standpoint, how many state championships would you believe would be just would be a good goal to set for this team individually going into the weekend?
I think if things go right, we could have as many as four in the final and easily two state champions. But I believe it can happen. There's a lot of factors and variables that have to come to play. But I'm going to be optimistic, and if that doesn't happen, we'll forge ahead and we'll continue to work to that goal. It's been a building process. I think when we started coaching, we took six to state. Last year we took eight. We're getting better, and we haven't bucked and got our state champion back for some years, though. So this is our year to get at least that goal and take care of that. And then the future is bright in years to come. So, yeah.
Well, Coach, it's always fun to talk with you about the program. Thank you again for the time today. Best of luck as you guys travel to the finale Friday and Saturday at Utah Valley, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate your support of the sport and these boys and girls. And I want to thank the community for their support. And hopefully they'll they'll be thinking of those athletes as they participate and represent us as a community. Thank you.
You bet. That's Coach Brock Fawcett again of the Carbon Dino Wrestling Squad talking about last weekend's duels and what lies ahead this weekend as Carbon will travel on the road now to Utah Valley. Final 2 days of the wrestling season coming up Friday and Saturday. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish! Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Talk some Major League Baseball. What are we, 50 days away from opening day?
50.
Pitchers and catchers are going to report in 7 days.
7 days, so very important days, dates coming up. Still some free agents out there, too.
Still some free agents. I'm shocked that Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta are still out there. I know that there's been a lot of tension, a lot of talk between the Players Union and Major League Baseball. I mean, Players Association, of course, is always going to back their guys. I get it. Do we know what offers are out there for someone like Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta? And at the same time, do you blame these organizations, these franchises, for not signing these guys to $110, $115 million deals? Because to me, I don't know that they're worth $110, $115 million.
No, those guys aren't worth that money. You can't strap yourself with those kind of contracts with those type of players. Older players with a lot of miles on them, both those pitchers. And there's a J.D. Martinez out there. You can't pay these guys that kind of money if you want to compete.
Not only that, this stage in their career, you got to remember that as well.
It makes no sense.
So Tony Clark, executive director of the Players Union, released a statement today that kind of talks about the tension growing between the union and Major League Baseball over the slow pace. Here's the quote. Pitchers and catchers will report to camps in Florida and Arizona in 1 week. A record number of talented free agents remain unemployed in an industry where revenues and franchise values are at record highs. Spring training has always been associated with hope for a new season. This year, a significant number of teams are engaged in a race to the bottom. This conduct is a fundamental breach of trust between a team and its fans, and it threatens the very integrity of the game. Your thoughts?
He's right in some points, but in other aspects, who are these talented players that are the free agents that we're talking about? What, Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta and J.D. Martinez? Who else is out there that you're going to spend the money on?
Here's the problem. I get what he's saying, and I think that that is correct in regards to teams like the Miami Marlins.
Yeah.
Okay, but the Marlins, what the Marlins did, to me, fits under the umbrella of what Clark is talking about. Okay, so if you want to talk about that and you want to correlate this current situation, yeah, why would Derek Jeter give Yu Darvish $125 million? Why in the world would he do that with the current team? After getting rid of Yelich, after getting rid of Stanton, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. They gutted that franchise. Why in the world would this team give Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta any money? Why? What good does it do you?
Yeah, and you can look at other teams too, like Cincinnati or those bottom feeders like in Oakland. Like, why are they going to overpay for these players so they can go from 69 wins to 75 wins? It makes no sense. They're not going to do it, and I don't blame them for not doing that.
Now, with that being said, I also agree with what Justin Turner, third baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers, with what he said. On Twitter, he puts, if the true goal of Major League Baseball is to capture the interest of fans, having the best product on the field every night should be the priority. If the best players aren't out there, it doesn't matter how long a game is. Our fans deserve to see the best of the best playing for championships. I agree with that, but at the same time, players are the first to point out that it is a business.
Yep.
Okay? I have seen players often leave championship situations to take a bigger payday elsewhere. I can see both sides to the story here. I don't think you can blame any team, and the reports today say that Yu Darvish wants something around the mark of Steven Strasburg. You're not getting it. There's no way that's going to
ridiculous.
Happen. It's not going to happen. I could see a team like the Brewers, who have kind of gone all in over the last couple of weeks, I could see them going in and offering Darvish a hefty contract. But if you think that teams are going to strap themselves moving forward for a pitcher that I don't think Darvish and I don't think Arrieta are even in their primes. JD Martinez was fantastic last year for the Diamondbacks. I guess I'm somewhat surprised that that team hasn't made a run at Martinez and given him what he wanted because they made a move for him at the deadline. And don't forget, they went to the postseason. Like, we can agree on that, right?
Yeah, we can agree on that. Okay. But how much are you willing to pay JD Martinez?
Exactly. You got to look at the asking price of these players. Now, the NBA, they're in a situation right now where there are some terrible contracts in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible contracts. Mike Conley's $153 million deal in Memphis. It's horrible.
It's probably one of the worst contracts of all time.
Yeah, I think Mike Conley went from being one of the most underrated players in the NBA to being the most overrated player in the NBA. And I don't think you can argue that dollar for dollar. And in fact, we live in a small market, right? Utah, the state of Utah, we're a small market team. The Jazz are a small market squad. I actually sided with I was on the side of the Jazz not giving Gordon Hayward $170 million because I didn't think he was worth it. And I thought it would strap this team moving forward. Okay, you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, and I've mentioned this several times on the show. Mark Gasol, Chandler Parsons, Mike Conley. Three of the top 20 paid players in the NBA. Where has that gotten the Grizzlies this year?
What, 14th in the West? 13th.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So I think the expectation from a player standpoint needs to diminish a little bit here as far as getting paid. Everybody wants to get paid. And I never blame anybody for getting their money. I refuse to believe that Yu Darvish does not have a viable option out there right now.
I believe he has options out there, but they're not at his asking price. So he's going to have to lower his expectations.
How often in the NFL do players get one-year show-me deals?
All the time.
Happens all the time, right?
Yep.
And the NFL is different in a sense because the money's not guaranteed.
Nope.
Remember, another contract that I know I use as a reference point a lot, when Darrell Revis signed a $100 million deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Remember that?
Yep.
Not a penny of that was guaranteed. He played 1 year, they cut him.
Yeah. So, there you go. So, Darvish and JD Martinez, they might be asking $100, $105 million. Well, you're going to have to come down to maybe $50, $60 million.
Here it is. ESPN Stats and Information reported this. 9 players have received 3-year contracts this offseason compared to 27 a year ago. Clubs have spent $780 million on free agents this winter compared to $1.4 billion a year ago. And $2.5 billion in the 2015-2016 offseason. Now, it would appear that these numbers back what Tony Clark is saying. However, they don't because of the ridiculous contracts that we have seen in the past that continues to up the value of players like Bryce Harper, who will be hitting free agency next year, right?
Yeah.
How many teams are going to offer Bryce Harper $400 million next offseason?
The Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs.
Okay, so you made my point. You have multiple teams that are willing to pay Bryce Harper $400 million. Now, you brought up three teams. The three teams you just brought up, the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Yankees. Okay?
I guess you could throw Boston in there. They always spend, but we'll say those four because okay. Those are the four realistic teams.
Those are three teams that are rumored to be interested in Yu Darvish. Three of those four teams are interested in Darvish. That's what the rumor is. He's had conversations with them. Yeah, they're probably a little hesitant to pay Yu Darvish considering they want Bryce Harper. Everyone wants Bryce Harper, and he's going to garner a $400 million contract based on the precedent set for superstars. See, this is where there's a disconnect, and this is where I don't agree with the players at all. I don't agree with the Players Association at all because of the insanely ridiculous contracts that have already been handed out. Remember when Kevin Brown was the first $100 million man in baseball?
Yep.
That was a ridiculous contract, was it not?
Mm-hmm.
Because of contracts like that that continue to increase in value, you have teams holding out to make sure that they have a viable option in place for a free agent like Bryce Harper while still competing. That's the problem here.
And this,
I think it's really that simple, Travis.
No, it is simple. In this free agency class this year, let's be honest, it's not good. It's not very good at all. So teams really don't have to go out and spend because these free agents aren't good. It's a slow free agency class year. Everybody's saving up for next year. Manny Machado and Bryce Harper.
Exactly. Those are guys that are going to garner massive deals set by massive deals before them. Remember how we were talking about Alex Smith last week? Well, we were talking about Nick Foles yesterday. Alex Smith and Jimmy Garoppolo set the market for a quarterback. So if you want Nick Foles, you're going to have to give up a number two or a number three. I think there's a lot of correlation between the professional major sports. The market has been set. And because of that, people are hesitant, franchises are hesitant to sign guys like Yu Darvish to $115, $120 million contracts, knowing that Bryce Harper's in play next offseason.
Don't strap yourself this year for what's ahead.
I guarantee you the Players Association's not going to say a word next year when Bryce Harper signs a $500 million contract.
No, they will be happy and they won't say a word.
We've got to get out for a quick commercial break. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Now Young with two. Let's it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up, this is Nick Young. So I can hear you listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
Back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I want to talk NASCAR here for a moment. Do not forget that you're going to be able to follow the entire NASCAR Monster Energy Cup racing series throughout the year here on KOAL. Bring you every single race. And Travis, I look at the calendar and I realize that the Daytona 500 is on February 18th. It's right around the corner. It's February 6th. We're 12 days away from Daytona, which means NASCAR in Vegas has got to be right around the corner, and that'll actually be the first weekend in March. And I know we have a lot of NASCAR fans out there, so stay tuned. I will tell you how you can win tickets to go to NASCAR in Las Vegas the first weekend of March. Typically, we do the show down there. Not going to be able to do that this year based on the fact that we will have USU Eastern basketball. It's going to be the conference tournament, same weekend as the conference tournament. Typically, that doesn't happen. So we won't be able to do Drive Time Sports live down there, which has kind of become a tradition. But we will give you information on how to win tickets to go see NASCAR. We've covered it down there for like the last 6 or 7 years. There's nothing like it, really, when you go down there and you watch it up close, when you're up close and personal with it. It's pretty unique.
Get up close with the cars, the drivers. It's a party. It's a fun weekend. Everybody gets into it. And NASCAR in Vegas is awesome, and I'm glad they have a playoff race there this year now, too.
Yeah, you get two races in NASCAR this year. So, again, stay tuned. We'll talk about how you can win tickets to go watch some NASCAR racing in Las Vegas. Now, before we end the show today, tomorrow, we got a great show lined up for you. Again, Dan Clayton, who's an excellent basketball mind, is going to join us. We're going to talk Utah Jazz basketball. The Jazz have won six in a row, and I definitely think you need to pay attention to the Jazz during the trade deadline. How can they improve their situation? About 2.5, 3 weeks ago, I would have said maybe you need a fire sell, because remember at the beginning of the year I said the Jazz would win 47, 48 games. I said they'd go to the postseason. And I kind of had to eat my words about 3 weeks ago because they were not good. They were not playing good basketball. Now all of a sudden they have won six consecutive games. And really, I like to focus on the level of competition, because through an 82-game year, you're going to have peaks and valleys. You're going to go up and down.
Too long of a season not to.
Too long of a season. Look at these wins. They beat the Pistons on the road. They beat the Raptors on the road. They beat Golden State at home. They beat Phoenix on the road. They beat San Antonio on the road. They beat New Orleans on the road. Okay, now, I mentioned a lot of road games because that was the problem with this team at the beginning of the season. They could not figure out how to win games on the road. They had lost several close games on the road. That is no longer the case. The Jazz have beaten some really good opposition on the road. Now, you can go ahead and talk injuries. I know the Pelicans are not the Pelicans that they were, you know, that they were 2 weeks ago with Boogie. I get it. I know that Kawhi Leonard's not playing for San Antonio right now. I know that the Pistons had not acquired Blake Griffin at the time. I get that. But the fact is, they're finding ways to win on the road. It's never been a problem to win at home for this team. It's winning on the road.
Consistency on the road. That's all you asked for. And if they were consistent, you know, in the early part of the season, they've already had probably a playoff spot locked up or up in the playoffs. So, yeah, they got to continue with this stretch, get past the trade deadline, the All-Star break, and be consistent on the road, and you'll have a shot at that 8 seed.
You know, it's funny. Ricky Rubio, for all the talk of how offensively challenged this guy is, he dropped 34 against San Antonio the other night. Was so efficient in that game. Remember Rubio last year, post-All-Star game for Minnesota? He was pretty good. His stock definitely climbed post-All-Star game last year.
He played really well against San Antonio, and he played good against Toronto as well. So, yeah, Ricky Rubio is just one of those players, though. He's just streaky, and that's who he is.
Against the Pelicans, he scored 20 points. You know, it was 8 of 19 from the field, but scored 20 points, handed out 11 assists. He was the guy that I expected to boost the offensive production for the Jazz this coming into this year. Especially Rodney Hood. Now, Rodney Hood comes off of the bench last night, plays 27 minutes, scores 30 points, shoots 12 of 14. He was on fire last night. It was an offensive gem for Rodney Hood. The Jazz have weapons on this team. Joe Ingles, who, look, I've criticized Joe Ingles before, scored 18 points last night. They had 19 from Favors. They got 19 from Gobert. They only had 2 points from Donovan Mitchell last night, and they found a way to get the win on the road.
Yeah, there's going to be nights where Donovan Mitchell's going to turn into a hit that hit that rookie wall. And last night's one of those games where he's coming off the flu, being sick, whatever it may be. But he struggled last night, and it happens. Rookies struggle.
And they found a way to win.
And they found a way to win because Rodney Hood and those other guys stepped up. And Rodney Hood's still their most important player.
I think this team makes the playoffs. I picked him at the beginning.
I'm still going to say no. But
At the beginning of the year, I was high on him. You weren't at the beginning of the year.
No, I wasn't. I thought it was a 33-38 win team.
And right now they're sitting at 25. They're still 3 games under 500. They're 3 games back of New Orleans. I didn't think Denver would be there. Denver's won 3 games now, but the Jazz are in striking distance. They're 3.5 back of climbing as high as number 6. They're 4 back of climbing as high as number 5.
Yeah, right there is a consistency. And those other teams in front of them, they may look to make moves. So if you're Utah, you're just going to have to continue to grind the season out, grind those road wins out.
We'll talk more Utah Jazz basketball on the show tomorrow. Want to thank Coach Brock Fawcett for taking out the time to join us as well. He is Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Remember, if you want to take a look at some of the local sports, just head on over to CastleCountryRadio.com and click on the Drive Time Sports link. You can also listen to archive shows and recent coaches' interviews. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. Be safe. We are out.